Bond slaves, you are to be well-pleasing. You are to be well-pleasing. Let me ask you right now, as workers in your job, are you well-pleasing to your bosses? Are you well-pleasing to them? It doesn't say, are you well-pleasing only if they're good bosses. Are you well-pleasing?
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today gives us some very practical help in how we are to be a Christian in the workplace.
You know, Dave, what's amazing is God's Word gives us what we need to know concerning how we are to behave in the workplace. And so often I find, and it breaks my heart, when Christians or people who name the name of Christ give a poor testimony to their bosses through poor work quality or shady business practices or whatever it might be. So with this in mind, how are Christians to behave in the workplace? How are they to do their work? Well, whether you work for yourself or you work for a Fortune 500 company, I believe we'll see in Scripture the expectations are the same. So let's see how we are to be as employees. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Another reason why we are to work, Ephesians chapter 4, 28, and I'll read this to you. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good. Now here it is, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Another reason why men are to work is to be able to share with those who are in need. It's a good thing. It's a good work that God has prepared before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 4:28. Therefore, we see God's mandate ultimately in the context of the curse, for us to be working. So what should that work relationship look like? What should it look like in the life of a true believer? That leads us to our passage today. Please turn again to Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Now, before we begin again, let me ask this question. Is this truth addressing now in our passage in Titus men only? Well, certainly we've talked about men needing to work, but at this time there were women slaves too. And if you are a woman who has her household in order and you are working, it applies to you too. Or if your children are grown and you are working now and your husband feels that is right before the Lord, these apply to you too. Or if you are a woman before having a family and you are working, this applies to you. Now we're going to see three things here. We're going to see ultimately the mandate, the command, we're going to see the manner, and then we're going to see the reason why. So first of all, let's take a look at the mandate here. Verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. It's a pretty simple statement. And if you have a NASB, the term urge is in italics. If you have a New King James, it says, I think, exhort, and that is in italics. And whenever you have something in italics, it means that it's not in the original text, but ultimately the translators believe that is the intent of the original language when you bring it over to English. And they believe that the force of the term earlier concerning young men applies here. Urge the young men, parakaleo, we saw that last week, to be sensible. And they believe it is the same thing. Come alongside, speaking truth. Urge bond slaves to what? To be subject to their own masters. The term bond slave is doulos. We've seen that in the context of the body of Christ. Paul is a doulos, one who has given over his will to the will of his master. But here it is not speaking specifically of that relationship between us and the Lord, but between a master and a slave. Urge bond slaves, simple slaves at that time who had masters. The word master ultimately is despotis, and it speaks of one who has ultimate authority over them. Well, what are they to do? They are to be subject in everything. We saw this word earlier, hupotasso. Hupo means under. Tasso means to order under. It speaks of lining up oneself under. It was used in the sense of a military term, i.e. the underlying officers lining up underneath the authority placed above them. It's in a present tense, which means it's a continual habitual action. Urge bond slaves to be continually, habitually subject to their own masters in everything. That's what you are to be, I believe, as a worker. Continually, habitually subject in that relationship. Slaves are not only to be subject, submissive, in our passage, but also they are to be obedient. Remember when we looked at women, they were to be submissive to their husbands. But nowhere in Scripture does it say, women, obey your husbands. Submission is voluntary. And we see ultimately that slaves are to voluntarily submit themselves, but we also see with them they are to obey also. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go back and forth between Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, and Titus 2. So if you got a lot of hands and bookmarks, put them in there because we'll go back and forth here. Ephesians chapter 6, slaves, verse 5, be obedient, obey. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Obey. Obey. They are to submit and obey. Well, who are they to submit and obey to? To their own masters. What are they to submit and obey in? In everything. We see that in our passage in Titus. We see in Colossians 3:22, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Now, if you're having a problem with this, then you're having a problem with the living God, because this is what God says. Obey in everything. It's pretty simple, but if you're still confused, we see it spelled out. It's to their own masters. And he says in Colossians 3:22, on earth. Ephesians 6:5, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Basically, and that really relates to the fact that when you are working, you are temporarily enslaved to your boss. And I believe it applies. Slaves, be submissive to your masters. Pretty simple and straightforward. Bond slaves were commanded in all things to be submissive and obedient to their masters on earth. This word obey in Scripture is an interesting word. It's hupakuo. Hup means under, and akuo means listen. We get the word acoustics from that. It means under, listen, to place yourself under ultimately so that you can listen. To hear something with the intent of obeying it. That's why it's translated obey. Place yourself under what you are going to hear to obey. Now, there are many of you who are temporary slaves the majority of your life. If you think about it, you work more than you have free time. The majority of your life as believers, you will spend in employment if you are obedient. And we tend to want to have all kinds of ministries of evangelism to try to win people to Christ, but yet the majority of your time is spent in a work relationship, and God shares in His Word what you are to be in that, I believe. God has sovereignly placed you in a position, and your daily moment-by-moment response is to be submission and obedience. When your boss says, do something, you do it. If he doesn't ask you to sin, you submit to his authority in everything. Slaves, this was much more difficult at this time. Bond slaves, submit in everything. It seems counterintuitive. The oppressing masters commanding the slaves to do things. But in God's paradigm of redemption, submit and obey. In the world's eyes, escape the injustice. In God's paradigm, submit and obey, ultimately that we'll see the doctrine of God our Savior will be adorned. Well, what is the manner in which slaves are to obey? And I believe employees. What is the manner? We see ultimately you need to do it, right? But what is the manner? I believe we see this later on. Back to Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. There's the manner in which you are to be a good slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. In relation to men, I believe we see, first of all, what you are to be. In relationship to men, to their own masters, in everything, to be well-pleasing. The verb translated well-pleasing is euarestos, you speaking of good, arestos, speaking of something desirable, acceptable, or pleasing, or fit. And it's in a present tense, continually habitual action. You are to continually, habitually be well-pleasing. That's what you're to be in the work relationship, well-pleasing. Now, of its 9 usages in the New Testament, every usage except for this usage is about being well-pleasing to God. And I believe Paul uses this word, he's drawing it from an Old Testament understanding of a pleasing sacrifice. And ultimately, we see in the New Testament, it speaks of the same, of offering ourselves as living sacrifices acceptable to God. Turn to Romans chapter 12. You'll probably know this by heart, verse 1, and I'll read this passage, and we'll see where this word is used. Romans 12, I urge you, therefore, because of the gospel, the truth concerning Christ, that you ultimately were dead in your sins, you had a problem, and God brought about, through Christ, justification. Because of that, that you are now alive in Christ, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, here is our word, acceptable or well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. It's in the context of offering the sacrifice. Well-pleasing. And he goes on, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good and well-pleasing. God's will is acceptable. Well-pleasing. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we have it as our ambition. He's saying, because if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. If I'm around, I'm here. Therefore we have it as our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing. Philippians 4:18, speaking of a offering of the Philippians, a gift offering. Paul says, but I have received everything in full. I have an abundance, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. And then he says, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Bond slaves, you are to be well-pleasing. You are to be well-pleasing. Let me ask you right now, as workers in your job, are you well-pleasing to your bosses? Are you well-pleasing to them? It doesn't say, are you well-pleasing only if they're good bosses. Are you well-pleasing? You are to be doing your work in a way that is well-pleasing, desirable, acceptable at all times. Submitting, obeying your masters. Now, grammatically here, we see this verb, well-pleasing, is followed by 3 participles. What am I saying? There's an explanation of what well-pleasing looks like, and it gives us some illustrations of what well-pleasing looks like. And the first one we see is that they are not to be argumentative. If you want to be well-pleasing, you are not going to argue with your boss. Chapter 2, verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything, to be well-pleasing, and then what's connected to it grammatically, not argumentative, anti-lego, not speaking against, not opposite, not contradicting, not arguing. Obviously, slaves in this time could have been argumentative. And obviously, in the work relationship, we too can be argumentative, right? We can be argumentative in all our relationships, right? And he says here, speaking of verbal opposition, you are not to be doing this, not argumentative. Speaks of verbal opposition. There is no way to be well-pleasing and acceptable to your masters on earth when you verbally oppose them and argue with them. There's no way. And as I shared before, obviously this command gives us insight into slavery at that time, that there was the possibility within those relationships for them to be argumentative, right? And certainly the same applies to our work relationship. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you are to be, well-pleasing, not argumentative. So then, you want to be well-pleasing to your boss? Submit to him and don't argue with him. It's pretty simple. Submit to him or her and do not argue with them. Now, let me just share one caveat at this point. Paul is not speaking of a false, disingenuous, man-pleasing attitude. Both Ephesians and Colossians make it clear that you are not to be an external man-pleaser. Yeah, okay, people now in the flesh will say, okay, I will not be argumentative, and they'll do the right things in the presence of their boss to please men. And we see in Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 5, slaves, be obedient to your masters, who are yours according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service or man pleasers. Colossians 3:22, slaves in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men. Okay, you're not to be argumentative, but it's not a false, external, eye-pleasing attitude. Now, I believe that's why at this point we see some portions. We see initially how to please in their presence, an example, argumentative. Now we're going to see how to be well-pleasing out of their presence. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters, Titus 2:9, in everything to be well-pleasing. Then the first participle, not argumentative. The second participle, not pilfering. Not arguing, and now we see not pilfering. The word pilfering here is nos phidzo. It speaks of holding back, misappropriating, stealing, embezzling. It's used two other times in Scripture in terms of the New Testament in Acts 5 concerning Ananias and Sapphira, who held back a portion of the sale. They saw people bringing things and laying up the apostles' feet and the glory that they were getting for that externally. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted in on that. And they sold a piece of property, but yet it remained under their control. And they made it look like they were giving it all to God, but they were not giving it all to God. They held back, and God brought about his discipline on them that day, and they were both killed by God. They held back. It was not known. It was secret. It was what you couldn't see. And that's what this idea of pilfering is. You can't see it. Also in the Old Testament, speaking of Achan, who held back things from the band, God said, don't take those things. And he hid them. Same word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Achan held these things back. And we know what God did to Achan. Secretly holding things back from God is not right and good. And here we see, in terms of the master and slave relationship, you are not to pilfer. You are not to pilfer. It's pretty simple. Don't take stuff from work that doesn't belong from you when no one's looking. Unless you have permission to do so, you are stealing. You are pilfering. Whether it's pencils or paper or making an extra trip in the company car that no one knows about, it doesn't matter. You're stealing. You're pilfering. It's not well-pleasing. No one sees it, but God sees it. And I want to ask you, what do you like when the boss is not around? I hope you're still well-pleasing. Now, it's important to realize that people can also pilfer time from their bosses. When the boss is not around, you're not doing your work. That's pilfering time. That's not well-pleasing. That's stealing. And if you are to be well-pleasing, which you are, that you cannot be doing this. But he says ultimately, but showing all good faith. Instead of pilfering, we see back in our passage, there should be a demonstration of all good faith back in chapter 2, verse 9. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering. And then we have the third participle, but showing all good faith. This word showing speaks of demonstrating or giving outward proof, giving ample evidence for all to see. In contrast to secretly stealing from your master and employee, you are to be demonstrating or giving outward proof of all good faith. And I believe in context, he's speaking, you're giving outward evidence of the fact that you are faithful and trustworthy. Instead of being untrustworthy, you are trustworthy. There is ample evidence, whether seen or not, to demonstrate that you are faithful, showing all good faith or trustworthiness. Indeed, faithfulness and trustworthiness are at the heart of being a good servant. Okay, you need to be well-pleasing in their sight, but what goes on in your heart when they're not around is an evidence whether you are really truly well-pleasing or faithful. Paul shares this concept of being trustworthy as a steward concerning the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's a basic principle we can see from there. Let a man regard us, speaking of Paul here, as in this manner, as servants or bond slaves of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required that stewards be found trustworthy. General principle for them preaching the word of God found trustworthy. For a servant or a steward, it is required that you are found trustworthy, that you demonstrate yourself to be faithful. And there's a very important reason why. And I want to ask you right now, in your work, are you a faithful, trustworthy worker? When no one is around, are you a faithful, trustworthy worker? This is what you are to be in Christ. Now, some of you are going, how can I do that? Well, we'll see later on. It's connected to the fact that the grace of God brought salvation and is still instructing us in Christ. Christ enables you to do this. Faithfulness is at the center of being a good slave, a good employee. So then we've seen in relationship to the earthly master, you are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. When you go to work, you should think about this first, and you should ask God to give you the ability to do this, and He will, because He says you are to be this. Now, with this in mind, that's what you are to be in their presence. What about before God? Titus doesn't address this, but Paul to the Colossians addresses the heart attitude before God. And so let's flip over to Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. We'll see what we should be in relationship to God in the work relationship. And I believe we'll see we are to serve Christ from sincerity of the heart. Our manner of obedience and submission is never to be merely for man. Underlying everything we do as believers, we are ultimately serving God. Colossians 3:22. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, and here you go, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Do you fear the Lord when you work? Do you go to work fearing the Lord? Do not obey to catch the eyes of men. Obey with sincerity of heart. Sincerity speaks of singleness, undividedness, unmixed, pure. Obey with a singleness of heart. You're serving the Lord through this master on earth.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you brought up an interesting point in today's message about the definition of stealing from your employer. Would you take a moment and review that with us?
You know, Dave, actually stealing isn't just the taking of physical goods that aren't yours. You know, stealing can also mean taking time or effort or attitudes or whatever it might be that is due your employer. In other words, when you sit at your desk and you text a friend or you shop online or send messages to people, if it's not during a break or a time your employer allows, you're actually stealing time from your employer. He or she is paying you for those minutes or hours, and they deserve the productivity that they pay you for. And, Dave, the same goes for the quality of work in which you give your employer. You see, they're paying you to give them the best work, and anything less is effectively stealing from them. You see, much of our walk as believers is worthy or not worthy based on our motivation, our attitudes, and thus our actions. You see, if you work unto the Lord and not unto men, giving your best to your employer each day, you're going to find as you walk with Christ a satisfaction in your work, even when it's difficult, because you're doing it for the Lord and not for yourself. And the Lord is the one who will reward you in due time.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.